tomorrow. Because he lives, he provides for us so much. Ain't the mind real now? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John 21, verses 15 through 22. John 21, 15 through 22. I also want to give you an update that 2 weeks from today, that's 2 weeks from the day, we will be nominating deacons. You will be receiving forms, and you will be able to fill these forms out, turn back in. Our deacons and church council will then meet, evaluate your nominations, do their background and research and the questioning of those individuals. And then in a period of time shortly thereafter, you will be brought back a list of names that you would be voting on to select deacons. All four of our deacons are in the process or need to rotate off. So we do have a full slate that we need to. Our constitution of all laws call for five. So we need to look at that and understand how important it is you be in prayer and you be a part of the process of preparing for the election of deacons. I also will be sharing with you next Sunday morning, we will be having a baptismal service. So we have two people that are supposed to be baptized. Jill will be one and she will be here. We're going to be looking at that and we're excited to participate in that. The old Brokeback preacher is going to do it, and we're looking forward to what God's going to say to us as we witness that and we celebrate that experience in Joe's life in the past. But she is confirming it as becoming a part of our church, and we're so pleased to welcome her. Have her here. So be in prayer for the Sunday service for baptism, and then 2 weeks for the deacon's nomination. So we're really planning for that. We're looking at John, the end of the John's gospel. This is where Jesus has come to the lake to be with his disciples. And it's a very important event takes place there. Peter is recommissioned, reordained, as it were, for the task Jesus has assigned to him. Look with me at John 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." But Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you are younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are older, you will stretch out your hands to another will gird you and carry you to where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Father, we pray now that we can understand what Jesus was doing with Peter and his disciples as he recommissioned them to the task of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we hear such a challenge today as Pinecrest Baptist Church, but also as individuals that have been given the responsibility to make disciples also. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, as we begin, there are many things that we need to remember. And as we remember these things, they challenge us. They make us see and understand something more pointed. Now, I personally love new beginnings. You know, when you get to start over, golf, you would call it a mulligan. You know, I get to do this over. In real life, sometimes we don't call it a mulligan, but we want to start over. We need to start over. This is the time of year that many things start over in most Southern Baptist churches. This begins the time of the new year. We did that with the beginning of Awana. We started back the Wednesday night prayer meeting. We are starting back the English as the second language class. These are challenges in the days that are ahead. How we're going to accomplish them effectively. But it's an opportunity when you start over, it's an opportunity to adjust, to change, to improve. Excuse me, and how important that is. I'm going to come to this one, Dave. It's time to examine our commitments. It's time to look at the task, the ministry, the services of our Lord. It's time to evaluate this past year's activities and look at the new year opportunities coming. Now, I realize we'll do this again January the 1st, as we should. But it's important for us to remember that there are things that have to change. It is credited to Einstein to have said, doing the same thing, the same way, over and over again, and expecting a different result, is the definition of insanity. You see, we've been commissioned by the Lord Jesus to shatter the gates of hell, taking the gospel to all of the world, taking the gospel to those that live with us, taking the gospel to those that are living around us, to go into our schools and our jobs with our friends and our neighbors. Let's look at how Peter was to start over. Today I want us to look at the experience of Peter after the dramatic fall into brokenness that he had the night that Jesus was betrayed. You see, the Lord appeared in this story. The Lord appeared by the lake to the disciples. Not all of them were there, but the fishermen were there. Excuse me, those from Galilee, and Thomas was there, looking and listening to what God was going to say. And in the process, Peter is impatient. Jesus didn't show up as quickly as he thought he should have. So being Peter, he in his impetuous self, he said, I'm going fishing. So he got up and started out. The rest of them following said, we're going with you. Now, it's been a very difficult and intense week for Peter and the other disciples. And there was a lot of confusions and problems. Peter had denied the Lord. The crucifixion had taken place. There were problems that surrounded what was going on. They were still recessed or hiding, staying away from Christ. And Jesus shows up. Now, they were fishing. They had fished all night. They had not caught a thing. And Jesus shouted, did you find anything? Did you catch anything? They shouted, he said, try the other side of the boat. And so immediately they had such a catch, they couldn't even get it into the boat. So in the process, John called Peter and said, that's Jesus. That's the Lord. Old Peter grabbed his coat and off the water he went and he went to the shore. The other disciples struggled to get the boat and the fish to the shore. And Jesus is standing there, and the first thing that happens, Peter bows and worships him. Now, in that process, they realized Jesus was cooking breakfast. And as he cooked breakfast, they all ate. They had their fill. They had everything they wanted. And in the process, they had eaten and were rubbing their belly and just enjoying being full when Jesus asked the question. Thank you, sir. Thank you. In the process of asking the question, there is that sense of great pain that is brought on Peter. Because the question was asked and said, do you love me? Those words cut so deep into Peter because they were painful to hear once again. You see, the words drug up the disappointment. They drug up a failure. They drug up a pain of Peter remembering that night. Excuse me, when he disobeyed Jesus, denied him, You see, Jesus ordained Peter for that wonderful experience of declaring the gospel. And in that process, Peter had said, Lord, I'll serve you anyway. I'll die for you no matter what anybody else does. I'll die for you. But there is that word that is used there. Jesus had ordained Peter when Peter confessed him, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Blessed are you, because this has been revealed to you by my Father. And in that process of asking this question, Peter's name was used, that old name was used. Simon, not Simon Peter, the rock, but Simon, before he became the rock, was used. Do you love me? Jesus would not just let it go. He asked that same series of questions three times. You get the picture. It was daybreak, a long night, and there was that charcoal fire, the warmth, and everything was going on. And the smell of leftovers, of roasted fish and bread. All the people were sitting around, but they weren't saying much, if anything. But everyone was interested in what's going on. That was the question of Peter's love and devotion. Jesus was reminding them of their ministry assignment. Jesus had met with Peter after the resurrection. After the resurrection, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, that he was buried and he raised the third day according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, then to the 12. Jesus had already seen Peter. He had already talked to Peter. He had already forgiven Peter. He had already restored Peter following the resurrection. But then there was that commissioning, that confession. Jesus answered, or Simon answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood does not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Then Peter's relationship and leadership was restored publicly. Now, the other disciples needed to know that Jesus had forgiven Peter, and that he still wanted Peter leading and making disciples. So Peter's continued leadership is authenticated. It's affirmed. It's verified by Jesus when they heard Jesus say this. Jesus forgave Peter, and Jesus was going to use Peter to make his message known to all the world. Each of the disciples had abandoned Jesus. They did not stand with him, but during the trials and his death, they would be forgiven and they would be commissioned to follow Peter's leadership to go into all the world. Now, Jesus made sure of Peter's commitment. When Peter would never deny Jesus again, Peter was told that he would, in fact, die for Jesus. As he declared in Matthew 26, verse 35, following the Lord's Supper. Even if I have to die for you, Peter told him, I will never deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. In fact, tradition says Peter did die on a cross, upside down, rather than die like Peter did, or like Jesus did. Now, Jesus taught the essentials of ministry. There's one basic essential if you're going to serve God, and that's love. Peter could not even minister or serve or bear fruit for the gospel unless he loved the flock of Christ. The most gifted person is nothing without love. The Apostle Paul drove home this. When he gave us 1 Corinthians 13, first three verses. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have no faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions and give over my body in order to be boast, but do not have love, I have nothing. Abilities, talents, gifts, commitments, good deeds, works do not qualify a person before God, nor make them acceptable to God. The one great thing, the one and only thing that will make a person acceptable and qualifies him to serve God is love. Love each other, he told. Now Jesus focused on Peter. Did Peter love him? Jesus asked, do you love me? Three times he asked him. Remember, Jesus had answered the rich young ruler in days beyond. The question was, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, we're not sure what Jesus was referring to when he said these. Do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Do you love me more than you love the other disciples? Do you love me more than the fish and bread that you just ate, pointing at fire? Do you love me more than the job you have, fishing? Do you love me more than the boat and the tools of your trade? Do you love me more than these? What are these? We don't know, but can't be anything above God and Jesus that we love. Then he asked him, do you love me with God's kind of love? The Greek word that conveys the feelings here have to be made up. It's the word agape. That's God's kind of love. English uses the word that conveys many feelings. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me with God's kind of love? What is God's kind of love? It's a love that would die for the enemy. Oh, it's okay to die for a family member. Pretty venture, some people die for a friend. But only God will die for an enemy. And that's the kind of love he asks us to have. He demands that we have. That we love him and are willing to die for the enemy. Now, the first question was referring to a brotherly love, the kind of love that will die for a brother. But Jesus was asking Peter, if you love me with a love that will die for your enemy. Jesus used the agape love, the kind that Peter answered with was a phileo, or the brotherly love. The third time, Jesus used phileo, the brotherly love. But Jesus asked him, do you love me? It grieved Peter. But he said, yes, I love you. And Jesus assured Peter that he would grow to love him with God's kind of love, the agape love. And Peter's love would lead Peter to die for Jesus. Now, preparing the disciples for their kind of love and their job was something else. Until Jesus, there was no understanding of dying for an enemy. Jesus demonstrated the agape love. Paul described that love in Romans 5, 6, and 8. But while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person. Through a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul described God's kind of love, the kind of love that Christ was showing. Dying for people with no strength. Dying for the ungodly. Dying for the sinners. Dying for the enemies of God. You see, he was preparing the disciples for that kind of love. As they would face dying because they would share the gospel with the world they lived in. But Jesus focused on Peter's assignment too. Three times Jesus focused his commission to Peter to feed and tend the flock of God. If Peter really loved Jesus, He was to shepherd Jesus' flock of followers. Now, the scripture identifies the lamb, the sheep, as the church. Jesus was talking to his disciples, whom he commissioned to make more disciples, teaching them everything he had taught them. Be on guard for yourself and all the flock for which the Holy Spirit is appointing you as overseer. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28 says. This verse is the charge to guard oneself, as well as the flock of God. This is similar to what Jesus is saying to Peter. If you love me, guard yourself. Be faithful. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my church. God's flock is made up of lambs and sheep. Lambs are the children, the young convert, the handicapped, the special cases, the believers that need special attention. We work to help them grow and develop and mature in their relationship with God. Yeah, that can be frustrating to us, the kids that won't sit still and hear a Bible story. But those are the very ones God's called us to teach. Those are the very ones God's called us to help develop and grow and mature. We have to feed them. We have to share with them. Now, there are two paths or two parts of our ministry. The first is the feed, that is to give food, to teach them both milk and meat of the Word, the Bible. Help them understand, yeah, Jesus, we need to love one another is such a basic concept. But when you and I get as old as we are, we realize that love requires action. Love is action, and we have to be involved in this. And it guides us in the study of God's Word to show us approved of God. The same word used for feeding the lamb is feeding the sheep. Both need feeding. Both must be provided for. What will aid in their growth and development? We have to understand. You and I know that when a baby is born, there are certain things that we have to feed them to allow them to grow and develop and mature. And I love to see children as they're growing eat. And I love chicken nuggets. Nothing else. I want them to eat. Or some other little thing like that. You go through that. And if you keep urging, you keep working, after a period of time, they will grow into eating a diverse diet. It will help produce strength and health and assurance. Now, Jesus used that same kind of word to reject the devil's temptations after he focused praying and fasting for 40 days. And he began his earthly ministry, calling his disciples and moving out to cross the country to share. He answered the devil as the devil tempted him with food. He said, it's written, man must live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, our purpose as a church is to teach other people what God has said, what God wants, what God needs in our lives. Folks, we have to have a deep, focused, developed Bible studies if we're going to grow and mature and feed others with the message of God's hope and love that Jesus Christ. You see, we never know God's will and direction without focused Bible study. You can't know God unless you study His Word, His message, His letter to us. We have to have that deep, focused study. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've been disappointed that we only have 9 people that signed up to participate in the Experiencing God study. And 3 of them have done it before. So we've got to look at this life-changing study can have an impact on helping us develop and revitalize Pinecrest Baptist Church. Is it any wonder that we struggle and are ashamed that we're in today? Because less than 15% of the people that say they're members of Pinecrest Baptist Church are involved in Bible study on Sunday morning. I think it's very telling of what's going on when we won't get to God's word and study it. The second commission was to be the shepherd. The shepherd. The ministry of a shepherd here is caring for, is involved in working, the believer serving the Lord as we should, requires helping each other. We do not teach or study the Bible because we do not understand who God is. My theory. The Lord and Savior of all the universe is providing the means for us to know all about Him and to understand Him. And He gives us a blow by blow of all that He requires of us. And we simply blow Him off. We don't have time. We don't have the energy. We don't have the inclination. We're too busy. I'm too old. I'm retired. There's other reasons that we want to do things. The church is boring. We need a better preacher. You just go down the list. It's not entertaining enough. But Jesus has given us an assignment. And that assignment is to care for and provide for each other. We are to help each other grow and develop and mature into a servant of the Lord God. Some of you have done it well. Some of you are doing it well. And I would add to that, may your tribe increase. You see, love, God, Jesus always demands love and commitment. Love is always expressed in action. The problem with today's love is it's all about emotions. So easy for people to fall in love. If you fall in love, you soon fall out of love. You know, it's just easy. Love can be in your mind and in your heart. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world this way, that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." He was God's message. That's where John, in the very beginning, said the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Peter's job was to make the Word known to the world and lead the disciples. The love of God and Jesus will be their nature. It is in their natures what's going to happen. God does not love when He feels it. Jesus gave up everything in heaven, position, authority, glory, worship, servants, being the very throne of God, to come to earth. He became a peasant's baby. He was born in a stable, placed in an animal's feed trough as a manger. He grew up as a carpenter's son and had no place to lay his head at night. That is, he was homeless in his ministry. All showed God's love. All paid the price for our sin. Because He paid our price and He forgives us of our sin, His love provided the way to be adopted as the child of God and become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God's love keeps believers together. For 3 years, Jesus held the apostles together. The agape love is the proven obedience to Christ and doing what one wishes instead of doing what God wills shows one that does not have the agape love. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. Keep my commandments and you will remain in my love just as I have kept the Father's commandments and remain in His love. This church needs every one of you to step up and assume the mantle of leadership that you have been given. You are gifted. You are skilled. You have talents. You have a passion that God wants to use. And He has selected you to be a part of this body. And He expects you to live for Jesus in such a way that you will do anything he assigns you. And he said, to be the shepherd and lead us into a broken world that needs to know the love of the living God. For making there so few things I can do. My age, my health, my body conditions, my circumstances. Yeah. But you can pray. And you can study the Bible. And you can worship. Your example, your participation, your involvement will challenge every one of us to see and know how we can join and participate. So it's time to start over, folks. And as we move into the Experiencing God series of sermons, those seven realities, I hope they will have an impact on your heart and life. They call for you a commitment to hear Jesus say, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me? And you're going to hear him say, be my lamb, be my sheep, in my flock. That's all of our responsibilities. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that you would speak to our hearts and call from us a decision we need to make that can bring honor and glory to you. And as we do, give us the strength to bear witness to all that you do in our lives every moment of every day. Speak clearly. Call from us a decision. And let us declare to the world that we love you and willing to do whatever you ask us to do. In Christ's name, amen.